Hello and welcome to Last Time On. This is the podcast for people who want to watch all this prestige television, but who's got time for it?
You know I don't.
Oh, what time is it? Let me check the time. Oh, guys, the electric bill's due. All right.
Oh, no.
We got to get some sponsors up in here quick. This is brought to you by NordVPN, HelloFresh, Audible. Who else can we leak?
Squarespace.
Squarespace. Forget all of them.
And we're here today. Did we say names? Fuck.
We haven't done names.
No, we did not.
I'm Jafar.
I am Ben.
And I'm Victor. Call me Vic, but only these two guys can call me Vic. I actually hate it when people call me Vic, but with you two,
really?
Yeah. Oh. With you two guys, it's kind of cool. It's totally fine. It's totally fine.
Are
but
you
usually
sure?
When somebody calls me Vic, like I think of some like greasy guy with a gold chain around his neck. That's what I think of it. I hate it. But for some reason with you two, I don't
and
know.
You have a silver chain.
I do, actually. Wow, I didn't think of that. Yeah. See, that's important. That's at least classy, you know. Now, with you guys, I don't know if it's your Detroit accent or something. It doesn't bother me at all. It's weird. So,
Yeah. I'll take it.
So I'm Vic, but don't call me Vic.
And we're here today to start our next show.
Season three?
Season four! Season four of Last Time On. So if you're just joining us for the first time.
What the hell is wrong with you? No, I'm just kidding.
Let me tell you how this works. So what we do here on Last Time On is we find a show that the three of us have never seen before. There's so much prestige television out there. So we actually have a lot of options, a surprising amount of options. And we will go through, we'll watch the pilot episode, which is what we're doing today. We use our to-be patent pending, or I guess our pending patent pending
our
formula.
Proven, clinically proven.
Algorithm that I developed to figure out how many dice we're going to roll so that we average 8 episodes of the show. We roll those dice, we skip that many episodes, and then we keep going and we try to guess what happened on this show. We're not allowed to watch recaps. We're not allowed to do research.
No research.
We skip everything that we shouldn't see. No next episodes, no reading anything. Just keep it as limited in experience as possible.
The whole point is efficiency. And if we're taking our time reading recaps and doing stuff, that's not efficient.
That's true.
This is going to be the way everyone watches TV in the future. Netflix is gonna have a skip random episodes button before you know it, man. We are in the ground floor here, guys. This is the new.
I really need to put together the patent paperwork.
Yeah, you do.
Like, actually need to put together the patent paperwork.
You know me and Ben aren't, you know.
And so we got a couple games we like to play at or with each other while we do this. So we'll prompt each other what happened last time on, where we'll just say what we think happened last time on. We will ask what happened, where a host will pick out one of the other hosts to explain what happened last time on. Sometimes we like to get weird with it. And when we get weird with it, we all have to come up with an off-the-wall answer to a question of something that is going on in the plot. And then occasionally, we get a little timey-wimey with it, where we will make a timeline from the last episode that we watched to where we are now, going over the series of events in its entirety that led us to this place.
We need to play that one more. That's a fun one. We haven't been doing that a lot. But yeah, we need to do more of that.
Yeah, it's because it's the most difficult of them, because you have to like write out like 15 things, especially in a show like Shameless or Farscape. We wouldn't skip that much. Stargate
or Viper.
In a show like Stargate or Shameless, where we're rolling a lot of dice, we're skipping a lot of episodes. This show has 11 seasons, and we're aiming to finish this in 8 episodes.
And you know, I'm really excited to do Shameless for two reasons. One is this show is a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I had never heard of it before, and that's actually the second reason. Last season with Stargate, I had some, like, you know, tertiary, tangential knowledge of the show, just because I'm a huge sci-fi nerd, and I just I knew a little bit about it from third parties. But Shameless, I had never even heard of the show before you even brought it up. So I'm excited. I have no fucking idea what's going to happen here. So, yeah.
Me either.
not to put too much of the cart before the horse here, mm-hmm. I'm just going to say, Jafar, I hope you're happy. And Laura, I'm sorry. I hated this. As somebody who's, I try very hard to be the voice of positivity on this show. Like, I'm the one being like, I don't care. Into the Badlands is awesome. There's roundhouse kicks, you know? I don't care that the CGI is bad on Stargate. Like, this is sweet. I absolutely hated this.
Now,
I will say, the acting, great. Mm. The production, top-notch. Everything about what they were representing gave me horrific anxiety.
Yeah,
I hated every second of it. I wanted my brain wanted to crawl out of my skull and escape having to observe this.
You know, I can see where you're coming from. I had a lot of those feelings too, but I think the fact that I took a Zoloft before each episode kind of...
that's in character too.
Yeah, kind of helped me get through some of it, because we'll get into that. I'll save it for the actual show. But before we get started, I would just like to give a shout out to Laura Glow and Beth for your amazing job doing the April Fool's Day episode last time on, where you covered Viper. I mean, wow. That really makes me feel like they brought their A game for that one. And it made me feel like, damn, I really got to step up my game for the podcast, because they nailed it. I loved that they thought the Viper was two different cars. Like, they didn't know that Viper transforms. So they're just driving around and they're like, oh, time to go fight some crime. Then they got to go park the car, like get out and go get in the supercar to go fight crime. It's great.
Yeah, I was screaming that no, the Defender is the Viper.
Is the Viper? Yes.
It's the same.
And I don't remember if this was Glow or Beth, but one of them, whenever she gets like really excited about something, she goes into ASMR mode, which is like hilarious. They're all just like, they're saying something like yeah, I think they should do an X-Files crossover episode. And she's like, ooh, I really like that idea. Yeah, X-Files crossover. That Viper goes fight some aliens. Yeah, just the fucking funniest thing ever. Thank you, ladies. You really just, that was, I think, the best episode of LTO we've ever done. So,
I mean, Ben, when we first started talking about the April Fool's week that we did here at What Happened Here Productions, where we flipped all the hosts around, you know, I brought it up to Laura, and Laura was all like, this sounds so much fun. Let's do this. I brought it up to Ben, and he's all like, has anyone else realized this is an excuse for you to take a week off of podcasting?
Like, we need me.
And the answer was no. No one else had realized, Ben. So thank you.
Yeah. And also, I could see it that I win after we finish doing Shameless, and I'm like, all right, and we're doing Viper. And Jafar will go, no, we've already covered it on the podcast.
Well,
No.
I will...
The April Fool's episodes will not count towards not doing anything. If we happen to roll the same episode, even, that's what the dice dictate.
Well,
I'll go ahead and establish that ground rule.
Next season, I will say that there is a 2 out of 3 chance that we're going to do Viper next season, because I know Ben's going to do it. Well, I see what I'm going to do. If I win, I'm going to flip a coin, and it'll be heads the Expanse, tails Viper. So what? Okay. That turns it into a 25% chance, I think, that we're going to do.
So that would be
2/3.
Your third would
My
be
third
divided into half. So that would be 3/6 chance.
So
42%.
How is that? Because 3/6 is 50%. Or is it 3 out of 6? I don't know. Jafar,
that's assuming we all have two choices. But I guess, it would be 3/6.
Yeah,
because
I'm,
you
yeah,
could just...
I'm going to flip a coin. Right. And then you, or I don't know. I might change my mind halfway through, since I've already seen The Expanse, but I got an idea for how to do that. But anyway, whatever. Blah. Getting way ahead of myself. It's a whole new season.
Good job at fractions there, Vic.
Dude, yeah. Listen.
I'm actually very disappointed
in
myself.
I was almost held back.
Real easy, and then I'm just like,
yeah.
Why is that? Yeah, not 50%. That's, of course, 50%.
I was almost held back my senior year in high school because I couldn't do math. I had to take an after-school program, and I cheated halfway through it. So that's probably why I have a recurring nightmare about where I have to go back to high school at age 41. It's terrible. Yeah, it's... I got it.
I remember so little of high school.
Me too. I smoked a lot of weed.
Yeah, I didn't have a great high school experience, and one of the first things I wanted to do when I got to college was drink it away, and I was too successful in that endeavor.
Brewmaster Jafar.
A very different person these days. Anyways. Speaking of having way too much to drink, we have Shameless, Season 1, Episode 1. We open on Frank giving us a little introduction.
We open in media car fire.
Yeah, fire. In media car fire. It's a car fire.
Yeah.
We don't know that immediately, but it is a car fire. We gotta get everyone, I'm guessing, in order of their age for the kids.
Yes. That's what it seemed like, yeah.
Fiona, who's actually raising her siblings. Lip, who is definitely going to jail. Ian, who's like in military school.
ROTC.
Seems JROTC.
JROTC, yeah, exactly.
Carl is that kid that totally tortures animals.
Fuck Carl! Let me just get that out of the way. I'm glad Carl didn't have a lot to do in this episode, because fuck Carl, dude.
I can excuse racism, but I draw the line at animal cruelty.
You can excuse racism.
So we see, like, nothing of him besides this one scene, and it makes me really worried about where his character's going. Debbie, who needs the Girl Scouts in her life to foster that entrepreneurial spirit. Liam, who's a baby.
Yep.
And V and Kevin, who are their loud-ass neighbors. Mm.
Also, Liam, who clearly is not William H. Macy's kid.
Yeah, they make that very
that's obvious. Yeah, they make that very, very apparent.
So wait, the neighbors, what are the names again? Is the guy's name is actually Kevin?
Kevin, yep.
That's hilarious. It's a perfect name for him.
Veronica and Kevin.
Awesome. He's definitely a Kevin.
Yep. We find out this has been a fire around a flaming car the entire time. The cops come, as break it up to a title card. And I have my first complaint of the show, which is that there is no theme song. There is only a title card.
Yeah, title card and impact font, which I've seen this font so many times in television, usually in comedies.
Yeah, yeah, nobody
feels lazy.
Nobody turns and smiles at camera as their name appears.
This show, especially just watching this first episode, deserves a, like, Family Matters, everything is normal in this household theme.
And that just as like it goes on, turning. You notice more and more horrific stuff in the background.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like Too Many Cooks. Only Shameless. I bet you that exists on the internet. Someone made that.
You know, I
the show
I just,
ran for too long to I just, not have something like that.
I just hate that the cops busted up a perfectly innocent car burning, man. What the fuck, man? Fuck the police, dude. Fucking Popo coming in, ruining a car burning. There's nothing illegal about burning a car and just having a party, man. Come on.
I mean, if they own the car.
Yeah.
I guess they're in a public space.
Yeah, they're on the street.
They're next to the street. They're probably in a park.
The car is on the street.
So I'm really hoping this show does get a theme song eventually.
I think this was the era that TV shows just did away with that.
Yeah, that I hate it.
They would just have like a 2-second opening. Yeah. Just the title card.
It's Lost. Lost is the reason for all this.
Is it? Okay.
Because Lost, I feel like, was the first show that did it, where it was just the title card and the zoom in and the like, wah, like you're watching Lost now. And
that was an excellent wah effect that you just did right there.
Thank you. I've practiced.
See, Converse Star Trek is like, you're going to be here for a minute and 45 seconds while we play some orchestra music at you. Yeah. I have done math. I have saved literal days by using the skip intro feature watching Star Trek.
Yeah. Well, you know, it wasn't until the current era of Star Trek that they started changing up the making like significant changes to the intros. Because before it was just the same thing every single time. But now you got to watch the little Easter eggs, like with Lower Decks, that space battle that just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Anyway, sorry, I don't want to derail the episode too much of Star Trek. Let's have it last time on drinking game. Every time Vic mentions Star Trek, take a shot.
Anytime any of us mention Star Trek.
Yeah, for real.
I mean, let's be real. Anyways, the kids pool their funds together to pay the electric bill.
Oh, God, I hate this so much.
They tell the 9-year-old to get a job. When did you guys start working?
I started working at age 15 at Baskin Robbins.
Okay. I was 14.
Yeah.
When I got my first job, I worked at Burger King.
13?
No shit. That's illegal.
Yeah.
Working at a summer camp.
Yeah.
Or no, that might have been 14. I forget.
Either way, still illegal. No, nothing against you, because you know you didn't know any better at the time. Yeah. But yeah. You know, the child labor laws that were really a lot looser in the 80s, 90s, you know.
Yeah, I had to do paperwork. Like I had to like go talk to my middle school principal and get approval to go get a job. Like I had to like fill out a form.
Oh wow. Yeah, yeah.
Whole thing.
Jeez. What was I going to say? Oh, we also learned in this intro that it is November 15th, 2010 in the timeline. because of the calendar. I paused it and zoomed in.
And they're in Chicago.
They're in New York.
They're in Chicago.
They are not in Chicago. They are so in New York.
No, they're in Chicago. Believe me.
No way.
I got evidence. I got the receipts on that. They're in Chicago.
Maybe it's filmed.
Ben brings
Chicago.
It up because he knows that I have issues with Chicago.
Is Chicago the city that you hate?
It is.
Awesome. Well, you should know that on my bucket
list.
Yeah,
they have shameless Chicago tours. So there you go.
Shut up.
Yeah, it's very clearly like the. I even make note in a couple of scenes before we get a confirmation. Uh-huh. Well, you know, we'll just get to it when we get there.
Man, I've got so much shit written down here and references to New York in my notes. I just hang on a second. Let me just
toss those out.
Also, I believe they're at a Blackhawks game in this next scene.
It's actually an AHL game.
Oh, okay.
Because they're not at the Union Center.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And you know they're not at the Union Center because in typical Chicago fashion, the Union Center has Union Center written over the roof. Just so you can never forget where you are in case you're on the roof.
Well, shit. I thought New York was the only city in the U.S. that actually played hockey. So
how
that
dare you?
Hurts. You wound us, Vic. In Hockey Town,
bro,
Detroit,
I'm
Michigan.
From Texas, man. We have the Dallas Stars, but they always lose.
Yes, you had your most famous Dallas Star, Mike Modano.
What did he do?
Right?
I don't know nothing about him.
He was an excellent hockey player,
yeah.
And he grew up about 4 miles from where Ben is.
Of course he did. So, yeah, because no one in Texas, we don't even know ice when we see it. Like, what the hell is this cold shit everywhere?
But also, all the most famous Texans are not from Texas.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, part of that's not Texas's fault. That's like, I mean, I'm not going to give Texas a ton of credit here.
You shouldn't.
But that's like... George Washington is one of the most famous Americans. He wasn't born in America, you know.
Oh, well, yeah,
like,
but he was born.
It wasn't
the
a country
that became
then.
America.
Yeah,
was he?
But that you can say that about a bunch of the historical famous Texans as well.
Well, but like Sam Houston's not from Texas.
Damn! Wow, that's a piece of trivia that I didn't know because of Texas' shitty public school system. So.
Anyways,
amazing.
Yeah,
no idea.
Fiona works at an AHL arena here, frequented by some very classy gentlemen.
Yeah, very classy. I don't think she actually works there. I think she was filling in for someone. It seems like she was
doing a job.
Yeah.
She had a name badge.
How old do we think Fiona is? Because it seems like she's just working. She is not in school.
Yeah, I'm thinking early 20s, like maybe 21. I don't know. Maybe we'll find out in the show, but yeah.
I would say probably early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I was just curious what we thought.
Lip is tutoring a girl in a house filled with porcelain clowns.
And
Joan
Cusack.
Yes.
What?
That made me very, very happy to see Joan Cusack. Joan Cusack is the mother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I love her character, and I'm thinking that she is fully aware of what's going on, you know, that her daughter's giving the tutor a Hummer. Air quotes under the table, and she just doesn't care.
Yeah, I missed all that. I was really distracted by the clowns. I didn't get anything else out of that scene.
That's funny. I didn't even notice the clowns until later, but we'll get to that. So
Philip finds Ian's porn stash with a surprise.
Yes, so it is ladies on the outside, dudes on the inside.
Like every singles bar in downtown Fort Worth.
I would have Googled if Don't Ask, Don't Tell was still a thing
when
the show takes place.
It was. I know this for a fact because I looked up when this show aired. This show first aired in January of 2011. Don't Ask, Don't Tell was not repealed until, I believe, September of 2011. I know this because there was a huge meeting that had to take place at where I was working at the time, at Camp Mabry. And in Texas, of course, which is, you know, one of the most homophobic states there is. And it was the most uncomfortable mandatory meeting I had to attend. Not for me. I mean, I don't care. My aunt is gay and I've had gay friends growing up. So it was no big deal to me. But everyone there is from like not Austin, Texas, from like outside of like the Texas part of Texas. And I remember I cracked a joke to my boss during one of the breaks. I leaned over to her and I said, "Hey, well, you know what this means, right?" She goes, "What?" I said, my chances of getting laid just doubled. Oh, yeah.
Well done. Yeah. Fiona is at a club, and they're playing 303, who are, in my opinion, the worst band to ever be successful.
Depends on what you count as successful.
They had, like, three or four songs over two albums. They were more than a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, I know. The thing that got me in this scene is we find out that the neighbor,
Veronica.
The neighbor, Veronica. I keep wanting to say
Victoria. Veronica and Kevin.
And she has stolen a tag gun so that they can put the tags back on their clothes and return them the next day.
Awesome.
But also in this scene, like, we have all of this stuff going on where it's like, they have no money.
Yeah.
They are, like, and it's just like, okay, like, this is not how you should be, you know, spending the no money you have. You couldn't pay the electrical bill.
She didn't spend money there.
Didn't spend money at all, dude.
Buying a cab, like whatever. I don't know. But I also noticed that these people, they make Malcolm in the Middle look upper class. Like, as much as Malcolm in the Middle gave me horrific anxiety, like, these people, I am just like, somebody's about, like, there's going to be an episode where somebody tries to repossess this house. And I hate this so much.
Yeah, this house, it really gave me some self-awareness because their house is a lot like my house that I currently live in right now, except that I'm single, so, and I'm one guy, and nothing fucking works here. Like, actually, they're a step up from me because they have a functional washer and dryer in the house. Like, I have to take my broke ass to the laundromat. So, I was like,
But then Fiona,
things around the house, so, yeah.
Fiona is dancing while some guy leers at her from a balcony, and then she runs into Jafar from his club days.
Oh, no, Ben. I wouldn't have been. I only went to, like, this kind of club, like, once or twice. I would not be at a club playing 303.
No, you would be at a seedier club. Stealing
I'd be at a
worse
cop
purses.
Club. I have never stolen someone's purse on purpose.
On purpose? Hold up. Come on, I gotta hear this story. We'll hop on her.
Sometimes you're holding something for someone and you forget that you're holding it because you've been drinking and you walk away.
Yeah.
It happens. It's not that big of a deal. You know, it's never a purpose. It's never running.
He thought he brought the maroon clutch and he picked up the burgundy clutch. And oops.
It happens sometimes.
Well,
yep.
Well, who is it on the upper balcony that's leering at Fiona? Who is it? Come on.
It's Steve.
Yeah, but the actor, who is this?
Nope,
actor
nothing.
You gotta be kidding me, guys. Come on.
Sorry.
It's Goku from the fucking Dragon Ball.
Oh, shit. It is?
You go to his IMDb
page.
Oh,
no!
That is on his, like, the number one thing that he's known for. Is one of the worst, the lowest rated movies on IMDb.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
So that's going to be our movie break this time, right?
Yes. Yes, it needs to be. We need to watch Dragon Ball Evolution. I never watched the cartoon as a kid.
I remember watching that movie when it came out, thinking that it wasn't as bad as everyone was making it out to be. There were a handful of really fun moments in it, and there were a couple illusions that I thought were really cool.
Yeah.
To the source material.
It's because anime nerds
but
are
I also,
very, very angry.
Forgiving.
Very angry people. Yeah. Unforgiving.
Oh, okay. Anyways, Goku here tries to stop this guy from running with the purse. He fails. The bouncer doesn't let them back in. And after some shit talk, he punches the bouncer and then moons the bouncer.
Yep.
Now, guys, did you guys get this impression? Because I got the impression that Goku was in on it. Like, he set this up so he could talk to the girl. Because he didn't look surprised at all.
Ooh.
When someone tried to steal his purse. I'm going to say that, like, I, my theory is that the guy
next time on we'll find that out.
Yeah. Well, we probably won't because of the way we do the show, but I seriously think that he hired, that's one of his employees that stole the girl's purse, stole Fiona's purse, just to have like an excuse to jump down.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Up next we get bros talking beeges, where Lip and Ian are just like, hey, you ever get a, you know, you ever get one? And yeah, a couple of times. Oh really? Who with? And it is a very, like, I don't know, Vic, I don't know if you have a brother. I know Jafar just has the sister.
Mm-hmm.
I have a brother. We have never had a conversation like this. You know,
Ben, I will go out on a limb here and say that perhaps
it might be just me.
You're kind of famously a repressed child. Look, it's,
all I'm saying is I've got standards no one else does. So it's not me who's wrong. Maybe it's the universe.
If there's nothing wrong with me, maybe there's something wrong with the universe.
Everyone take a shot. Back at home, listeners, take a shot.
But please not if you're driving. Oh, anyways.
Especially if you're driving. Hang on, we'll be right back.
I only listen to podcasts in the car.
This is one of those things that I feel like is writers trying to write siblings.
I don't know. Listeners out there.
How actually siblings talk.
Listeners out there, join our Discord. Let us know. Let us know in the comments. Do you ever have a BJ, are you gay discussion with your sibling? We want to know.
And then did you take them to the girl you're getting paid to tutor to get him a blowjob? Because that is the most unsettling. Okay, maybe you have a conversation with your brother about it. I'm not going to be like, hey, come on over.
I mean, like, I will say, you know, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. Because we'll talk about that scene. Before we get there, though, Finn gets home with Steve and Veronica from the bar. Debbie is immediately pricing out Steve's shit.
I love that. I love Debbie.
When
she's a little hustler.
Yeah. When Kevin comes in and gets caught up, and V and Kevin walk home while Fiona gets everyone in bed. Steve reveals that he remembers seeing her a month or so ago.
Yeah.
He did not have the courage to work up talking to her and having regrets around that.
And she is totally turned on by the fact that he's been stalking her for months, apparently.
So he does say that this is like he had not seen her since then. Like,
oh, this is fate giving me another chance.
Yeah, I can see a situation where you don't work up the courage to talk to someone, you don't see them again, you run into them a month later, and you're like, okay, I can't pass this up this time. That is a situation that can exist that is not inherently creepy, but
yeah.
This feels creepy coming from him.
Yeah.
This feels weird and awkward, and it gave me the ick, and I had to be all like, okay, maybe it's not. But then, you know, he love bombs her in like two scenes, and it very clearly is, and I was right to feel the ick in the first place. So
yeah.
They start fooling around in a completely disgusting kitchen, and I'm just like, somebody's gonna get forked. Like somebody's going to end up with like an unclean knife stabbed into a butt.
No. Just leave it at forked, Ben. It's
forked.
Good.
That's a good one.
It doesn't need anything else. It's better than the joke I was going to make.
And then, we get a knock on the door, and it's Tony, somebody,
a cop we know on a first name basis
in Chicago. This isn't
some
like,
of y'all.
Oh, this is Officer Doug,
small
one
town
of the five cops. The precinct knows us.
Some of y'all have never known a cop on a first name basis, and it shows.
I have. I came
actually
from a very
not
small
true
town.
It's a joke. Yeah.
Anyways, yep, they've got their deadbeat drunk dad. We're 20 minutes in before we get William H. Macy.
And that's exactly what I wrote down. Yeah. I have the feeling that William H. Macy is just going to be like he's the star that draws people into this show, but the show is not about him. He's just the vehicle for Fiona and Lip. Like, they're going to be the main characters of the show. That's the impression I'm getting.
I have to wonder if he took this, like, he was all like, hey, you want to do this show about this poor family where you're a drunk asshole? And he's all like, I'll read the script, I guess, because I'll read the script, but no. And then he reads the script and he's all like, I'm in 30 seconds of this where I'm not passed out on the floor. Then they're like, yes, and it's $1 million an episode. And he's just all like, oh.
Yeah.
He has an Oscar. And he spends most of this episode with peed pants.
Man, he is living the fucking American dude.
This makes me think of Jeffrey Dean Morgan, the actor who got sent the script for The Watchmen, where he played the comedian, and got really mad at his agent. And he said, like, I die on page 3. Why are you sending me this crap? And the agent was just like, read the rest of the script.
Oh, nice. Nice bit of trivia there. I had no idea about that.
So Steve now leaves, having not finished his date with Fiona. And he's outside of this house. And there is a house in between the Shameless house and the Frank and Kevin and Veronica house. That is condemned.
Frank is the dad.
Yeah. So Frank, Kevin, Veronica, condemned house in the middle. Like, this is not an affluent neighborhood. He's just standing out in front of his BMW, looking listlessly into the house. And I was like, somebody's going to mug this guy.
Oh, totally. Totally.
For sure.
So, and then he looks up at them. Like, I have a feeling that, like, I really like this scene because, you know, Goku's there in front of his BMW, and he is like, that just really fucking happened. And I feel like he's pondering how much he really likes Fiona, if it's worth all this drama. You know? And then he looks up, and then Lip and I think it's Carl are looking back at him in the window, and they're given the stare. They are given that stare to where, like, if you fuck with our sister, we're going to fucking kill you. Like, I know that stare because I have both given that stare and I have both received that stare. That is a very familiar stare.
So. I don't know. This feels, by the end of this episode, I'm thinking, oh no, Steve just lives for the drama. Like, he is like, I have found the messiest bitch in Chicago.
Hell yeah.
I want all of that.
Congrats. And
the next morning, Fiona is now catching a shift working as a cleaning lady at a motel in exchange for laundry and tamales.
And stealing toilet paper.
Yep.
Yes.
Get paid.
Get that paper.
Frank cashes his disability check in what I can only refer to as a scene out of a Fox News wet dream.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
This is so not real on so many levels. Not to say that this has never happened. It surely has.
I wanted to ask you
cashing
in
your disability check.
A bar. Yeah.
Bar to pay your tab.
Now, I wanted to ask you guys about this because the most unrealistic thing about this, that I see this in TV a lot, is where you're allowed to build up a bar tab over time, over like weeks and months. I have never been to a bar that allowed you to drink on credit. You know, like you pay your fucking bar tab like immediately. Like, is that a thing? Like, are there bars out there where you can just drink and pay later? I've never heard of that.
Now, remember that the bartender is their neighbor, Kevin.
Yeah. Like, that's,
I think that plays into it.
I feel like,
I mean, I have worked at
a
bar. Like, I have been like volunteer labor on weekends at a brewery as an apprentice to learn how to brew. And even then, where I literally know all of the bartenders and the brewers, and I'm there every week working for free. They're paying me in beer. I don't think I could have had a multi-day tab there.
Wow.
Like, I mean, maybe if it was like, oh man, sorry, I left my card at home. I'll hit you up on Sunday when I'm going to be here. But I could not go back the next day and, oh, I left my card again at home 2 days in a row. How crazy. Yeah. Like, no,
maybe
no, that wouldn't have
cool
flown.
Enough that I've never made friends with a bartender like that. Because every time I get a drink, it's either pay immediately with cash or give us your credit card. And if you forget your credit card because you're way too drunk, they're going to charge the fuck out of it and give themselves a tip, like a big tip.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had friends, like, for a while I was working second shift. So I'd get done with work at like 11:30, and the only friend I had in like a 12-mile radius who was awake was my friend who was a bartender. And I also like, I was working second shift, so like I would sleep from like 4 to noon every day.
Oh,
because like
best.
I'm not just going to get off work and then immediately come home and go to bed. And so I would go and hang out at this bar 2 nights, 3 nights a week. I don't think I could have had a month-long tab.
Listeners out there, join our Discord. Tell us a story. Have you ever had a annual bar tab? even a quarterly bar tab? That's just... Let us know if that's a thing.
Steve shows up, gets turned down, leaves his number anyways.
Notices the washing machine.
Yeah.
Philip takes his brother to the tutor girl. And I just can't believe how many fucking clowns are in this house. They're really going out of their way to show us all these fucking clowns in this house.
I can't believe
I did appreciate the setup, though.
It's in the background. It's so much. Some other stuff happens, I'm sure. I missed all of it.
So what happens in this scene is Cusack doesn't have enough bags for them to bag up their shoes, so they have to leave them outside. And while Ian is getting his sad high school blowjob, which, really, really glad I am sitting here as a grown-ass man watching, you know, high schoolers pretend to simulate fellatio. Oh, make me feel weird at all.
The actress who plays Karen was 23 at the time. I looked it up just to make me feel... no, just so I wouldn't feel uncomfortable watching this.
But okay. The dad comes downstairs to get his lunch. A apple gets knocked off the table. And for being the smart one, Lip just stares at it. It's just like, pick up the apple, dude. Just say, oh, don't worry, I'll get that. And the dad will just stand there and be like, what a nice young man. Instead, he's just like... oh, no. As the dad picks it up, notices his daughter is under the table and loses his mind. We get a chase around the table as he decides to chase, you know, all of the kids instead of just Ian. And we get a terrible bit of CGI as Lip jumps out a second story window.
Loved it. Dude, the fucking freeze frame with the bad CGI. That is the scene that sold me on this show. I thought that was excellent.
See, that was I would have loved
Jeff's kiss, man.
I would have loved it instead of the car fire. The episode started with Lip jumping out of the window and like horrible CGI, and they just. I bet you're wondering about how I got here. My name's Lip.
You know, that makes me wonder because I noticed in the opening credits that this show is based on a book. So I didn't do any research because I'm trying not to. Because that's the rules of the show. But I'm wondering if this was based on like a graphic novel and that's like a reference to it. That would kind of make sense. I don't know.
I know that this was adapted. I believe it was adapted in the UK first.
It was? Oh, wow. Oh, dude.
I know that there's a UK version of this show. I don't know if I believe it came before this one.
Dude, we should do a special, like a Patreon special for, I don't know, watching the British version of this. If we can. Find it or something.
We should get a Patreon and then talk about our Patreon specials.
Yeah, well, okay, one thing at a time.
It's on the to-do list. Yeah. All right.
Back at the
I got a file that patent.
Back at the house, Lip has a twisted ankle and is I'm interested. So Veronica has come over and is like she had stolen a ton of medical supplies from a brief stint as a hospital employee.
I love that.
And she seems it is the sort of thing where it's like, she seems capable, but she also seems capable in the way of, I can handle a twisted ankle, and therefore I know more than nurses and doctors kind of way. I've known people like this, where it's like, you know, you don't need to go to the doctor. I know exactly what's going on. It's like, you are a receptionist at a dentist, you know? Yeah, so I'm curious if going... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I just have a crush on Veronica, because she's just perfect, man. She's witty. She has skills. She's freaky in bed, you know, apparently.
She's going to end up being toxic.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly. She's a beautiful train wreck. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, my worry just about her is like, is it going to be a situation where is there going to be a scene where she ends up completely out of her depth, but unable to admit it to herself and to others? I can see that happening with these people.
Yeah. While they're taking care of Lip's foot, there's a knock on the door. And, oh, wow, what a surprise. I wonder who this totally new washer is from. This is very normal behavior. This is totally something that happens. It's not love bombing. Like, you're not obligated to call Steve now. This is a normal thing that people do.
No, it really is,
100%.
Though. That said. I've known guys who do stupid shit like this. It's a pretty common thing, unfortunately.
That right, said. Yeah. Okay, a new washing machine, like, this is, you know, a relatively nice washing machine 10 years ago. $300? Maybe $400? Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't a $1,000 washing machine. You take somebody out to a really nice date in Chicago. $300? $400? Yeah. Is this, like, is it worth it? Like, hey, your family needs this, and this, you know, this is the equivalent of first date.
Yeah.
The problem is the date requires participation by via attendance. This is you throwing, like, before a first date? No. This is completely unacceptable. Like, if they had gone out on a couple of dates and it's all like, hey, I know we were going to do this fancy dinner, but you really need a washer, so we're going to do this instead. Fine. Even as a surprise, you know, it's significantly more acceptable because there's been buy-in from both parties.
To be fair, they've already had three quarters of a sex, okay? Buy him a washing machine.
There is explicitly not buy-in from Fiona on any furthering of this relationship.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with this.
Yeah, yeah.
She has said no multiple times, and he buys her a washer. That's fucked. Yeah. This is fucked.
I don't, one thing I did notice about...
There is, I honestly believe him when he's like, there is no obligation. You just look like you fucking need this.
That is true. That is true. That is a way of looking at it. Like, oh my God, yeah. I mean, yeah.
I don't believe him. He's too skeezy.
Oh, he's very skeezy. But you can be skeezy and be like, man, you've got a baby in here. This is fucked.
One thing I did notice about that I love about Fiona is that I don't know if it's her character or the actress, but her New York accent comes out when she's mad. I mean, that's one of the reasons I could have sworn this took place in New York City, because, dude, she... Come get your washing machine. It's out in the curb. Get it before it rusts.
After this, we have some fun at Ian's job with Hey! It's Margaret Moreau.
Oh, before we get there, though, we do have my favorite scene in the whole episode, which is the dad from the blowy house is grabbing all of the clowns, and you think he's taking them out to throw them away and be like, all right, I'm getting rid of all this crap, all of this, you know, stuff. And it's like, oh no, he's loading up all of his clowns and leaving.
Notice the clowns up until this point. I didn't even notice them in the background, but he's loading them up. But yeah, they're all his clowns. I want to ask you guys, we got this guy who's a postal worker and has an obsession with clowns. We'll hop on her.
What the hell happened? Can't
explain. But I got the van.
Come on, man.
Come on. It's the first episode. We can do it. What happened here on the first episode? Come on, we can do it.
Not, there is no last time on.
No,
it's the first episode.
Totally
that's the whole point.
What's the backstory? Why does this guy love clowns?
The only clown here is you.
This is true. I'll even
His
go
dad
first.
Was Ringling.
I'll even go first. Okay, come on, guys. The girls made an awesome episode. We got to step up our game. Let's do a What Hop on Here on episode one.
That's also not. We all don't do What Hop on Hers. Only one person does a What Hop on Her.
Okay,
you want to do a Let's Get Weird with it?
Ben, what's happening?
All right. So I'm going to say that this guy's dad was a professional clown and was always gone. And so his mother would, every time he was getting really sad, buy him a clown puppet and be like, yeah, I know your dad's not here, but he's out there sending home money for us. And one day, you know, he'll come back. He'll come back to us. And he never did. Just one day in the mail, package with just a rubber nose. The tigers got out. There's nothing else.
And he had a huge
bag of ashes.
A huge settlement came in from his lucrative life insurance policy as a circus clown.
I don't think he was a circus clown. I'm with Ben up until that point. I believe, if memory serves, one of the most famous clowns is from Chicago, Bozo. I believe Bozo the clown.
I'm so glad
from
didn't
Chicago.
Go William and Gacy.
Oh God! Oh, I forgot about that.
Or no, John Wayne Gacy. I was thinking William
John
H.
Wayne
Macy.
Gacy.
Yeah.
John Wayne Gacy. Yeah.
Oh my God! Wow, that is true.
No, I believe Bozo is operated around the Chicago area, and so he had a thing like Barney Stinson, where who's your dad? Oh, it's Bob Barker because he's on the TV. Who's your dad? Oh, it's Bozo the clown because he's on the TV. That's your dad. So watch the show and be quiet. And he just lived his whole life thinking Bozo was his dad.
I like it. I like it. I was going to have a whole thing about how he had a secret lover who was a clown, like on the side. He was having an affair with a guy who was a clown. And I wanted to throw that out there as a shout out to, I can't remember if it's Beth or Glow, who on the previous episode say they like to make everything gay.
That's Beth.
That's Beth. Yeah.
Jafar, your defeated sighs give me strength.
Oh, Bozo was actually a clown franchise.
What?
I had no idea.
There are multiple Bozos.
Yeah, I'm doing Bozo research.
There's a bunch of different Bozos.
Oh my God, I had no idea. Dude, this shocks me. Like when I found out that Shamu at SeaWorld, there's no Shamu. There's multiple whales named Shamu. There wasn't just one. That made me very sad. And then it made me even more sad when I found out how the whales are treated at SeaWorld. But we won't get into that because I don't want to be sad right now.
But Bozo was, the main Bozo was based out of Chicago from 2001. Two different actors played him over that time. Okay, done with my Bozo research. Had to know.
Back to Ian at the Muslim grocery store.
Yeah.
Where we find that their grandma hates the CIA because they stole her our trash one time. And I'm like, okay, you know what, grandma? You are completely justified.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my mail all came opened for like 6 years, so.
Shut up. Are you serious?
Yeah.
From, like, it came in the mailbox already opened?
Yeah. Yeah, like every letter I received for a number of years was just open.
My now, mother used to
I'm
going to
say, I personally do not believe that that was, I don't believe it was the CIA or the FBI. I believe that that was our local postmaster who was just like, oh, I got to dig into this. There must be terrorism here.
And they didn't even bother to reseal it.
It was in college. Yeah. It's not a big town. So
wow. Mount Pleasant, Michigan is the kind of place where I can see a postmaster who is just like, I'm going to discover a terrorist cell here.
Yeah.
Mid-Michigan.
Yeah. Anyways, Margaret Moreau is the wife here of the shop owner.
Yes, I recognized her from Mad Men. There's actually a couple of
Mighty
Mad
Ducks.
Was she in the Mighty Ducks?
She's in. There's one girl in the Mighty Ducks, Ben.
No, there's a couple girls in the Mighty Ducks. Especially
okay,
if we
well,
go
there's
to D2.
One. It's the one who plays hockey with them.
There's a couple of girls
I don't
girls
remember
on
the character's
team.
Name.
Okay.
I don't know how you don't know. I can't remember the character's name.
All right. Well, I need to know the character's name because there's a couple of girls.
Wet Hot American Summer, Queen of the Damned.
Damned? What?
It's hilarious. Yeah, she's the journalist in Queen of the Damned. Yeah. It's hilarious to me that she's the only good Muslim in the family. Her husband's eating pork rinds.
And that's okay.
This hits home for me.
This makes me sad. If we have any devout Jewish or Muslim listeners here, do not go to hell for a pork rind. It is not worth it. They're
pork
not
rinds are
that
terrible.
Good.
I never saw the appeal of pork rinds. Never. Yeah, I don't get it.
They're
like I see them
fine.
And like, does anyone actually eat these? Like, why are they still available for purchase?
I've had them. They're get a bag great. Of Takis. They're better.
At the Gallagher abode, Ian is throwing paper balls at his sleeping father.
Are they paper balls? I thought it was popcorn.
Fiona talked. I thought
both.
He was ripping up paper.
There was ripped up paper and bits of food.
Oh, that's funny. Now, I'd like to point out that there's the line where Ian tells Fiona, like, if you just want to feel needed, you got a lifetime job with this Joker. And this actor who plays Ian was also famously played the Joker in Gotham. And I got to say,
played not the Joker.
He was the Joker. I mean, he was I know they never officially called him the Joker, but he was the fucking Joker. And in my opinion, he was the best portrayal of a live on-screen Joker. Like, the best portrayal is Mark Hamill, but that was animated. But this guy, best Joker ever, dude. He was fucking amazing. He himself is the reason to watch Gotham. Like, the show was okay, it wasn't that great, but watch it for Ian as the Joker.
Watch some clips on YouTube.
Yeah, there
you'll
you go.
Be fine.
I've never seen Gotham, so...
It's okay.
Neither have I. I've just watched clips of this guy as the Joker, and it's great.
He really is great, man. So I don't know. It must
my favorite part of this is... Oh, go ahead.
I was rambling. Go ahead.
My favorite part of this is Fiona literally shaking money out of his pockets.
That was good.
See, and this, I hated this, because the scene ends with Fiona going to a passed out Frank and like putting his hand on her shoulder and being like, hey, Fiona, you're doing a great job. I couldn't manage this without you. And I'm just like, I can't. I don't like this. This is horrible. I don't want to be around any of these people. Like, why don't they leave Frank in a ditch?
The fact that that hits you so hard, a sign that you need to go to therapy, Ben.
This isn't my family. I just don't want to be around this family.
Why does it? You know what? I'll let your therapist. You should really.
Because I have fears about money. Because I was broke for a very long time. I couldn't turn the heat on for a while. I hate this.
Yep.
I don't want to live. I don't want it in my escapist cinema.
Yeah, at the very beginning of the episode on the calendar, I paused it just to see if there are any like jokey bits in there. And one of the things every Wednesday they have to trade food stamps for cell phone minutes. And they
How
have
does
a
that work.
Crime
it works.
Fair. Crime.
Yeah, crime. And they have the chore list.
I mean, I guess you just
sell the food stamps. Stuff. They give you cash. You buy cell phone. sense.
Anyways, Fiona calls Steve again. They talk briefly, like he's known her way longer than he has.
Mm-hmm.
They meet at a rail station and go to dinner, where Steve is just rude as hell.
Mm-hmm. See, again, I wrote down in my notes that this scene felt very unrealistic to me because of how angry Fiona got and like stormed off and then came back. But then I realized, oh, this is in New York. This is how New Yorkers are. But now it's not New York, apparently. I fucking swear, dude. I can't.
It's just about people from Chicago being rude, because that's unrealistic.
People in Chicago are very rude.
Is Chicago like that, too? Like, I don't know. Well, apparently, I mean, if you hate Chicago.
I'll let Ben answer that question, because my bias will start showing.
People from Chicago have a giant chip on their shoulder.
Okay.
Anyways.
Well, I will say it's on my bucket list.
They finish their...
Oh, just real quick, I was going to say, it is on my bucket list to one day go to Chicago and hit up that fountain, because I believe the Buckingham Fountain in Chicago is the biggest fountain in the entire U.S. At the very least, it's the biggest. It might be biggest in the world, but I want to dump a whole ass bottle of dishwashing liquid into that fountain and just create a mountain of
You will
of
be
bubbles.
Arrested.
I know, but it'll be worth it.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
I just want to make bubbles that'll like clog up traffic.
So, Steve reveals here that he is actually a car thief and not a successful man of business.
I thought for sure he was about to dine and dash when he's just like, hey, go wait outside. I was like, is he just a guy who stole a car? Like, I assumed, because we see during his phone call interstitials, he's at like a car wash.
Car wash, yeah.
And I was like, oh, is he like sneaking off with a BMW that's not his? He's got one suit. And he can't actually afford this place. It's like, oh no, he's a criminal with like informants and contacts. And I went from suddenly thinking like, oh man, this family is going to destroy Steve, to like, oh no, Steve is the worst of all of them. Steve is like organized crime, and they're petty crime. Like, this is going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he takes his stolen cars to the car wash. See, laundering the cars. That was way funnier.
Da-dunch.
Yeah.
No, that was good. I liked it.
Lip helps repair the window at Karen's house as she confirms that his brother was not interested.
Nope. Pushing rope.
And this must have been...
actually used that term, right?
And this was before the era of Karens. Well, I mean, I guess Karens have always existed, but this was in 2011, back before the name Karen got
before the nomenclature.
Karens, yeah. Interesting. I can't believe how old this show is. That's crazy to think about.
The next scene is confirming that with Ian, as we find out he's fucking around with his boss. Karma uses to get a ribbon on the socks. Love it.
Then we have a scene where Fiona and
do I have to explain that, Vic?
That went way over my head.
Okay, so Karma is Jeremy Allen White, the actor who plays Lip. That's his character in The Bear.
Okay.
And what he does is, when he talks about how, oh, surprise, Cash is gay and cheating on his wife, he's like, well, that's what you get for being a Sox fan, because Chicago has two baseball teams, the White Sox and the Cubs. We establish Lip is a Cubs fan because he talks shit about the Sox.
I guess this show really does take place in Chicago then. That makes sense. Damn.
Yeah.
I feel dumb. Now you drink more smart
water.
You're
fine. It won't help.
I keep drinking
smart
water.
Not because
I'm still
of you,
dumb.
But because it's not because smart water won't help.
Sue.
That came out way meaner than I meant. I'm sorry. Mean it as a shot against you. I was just talking shit about smart water.
Yeah.
Frank is waiting for Fiona and Steve to come in, and he's just there waiting.
On the washing machine.
He slinks off the washing machine. Just like a snake just like sliding down. We cut over to the three of them drinking. We learn Frank's disability is from a flying chicken. When Veronica and Kevin, because the music they're listening to is too loud, if they're going to listen to loud music, they can't be listening to Cream. They've got to listen to LMAFO.
Yeah.
And man, Do you know that LMAFO has an entire series of musical videos telling the story of a post-apocalypse world?
You're making this up.
That finishes the climax of this story. Ends with Jesus blessing bottles of champagne to turn them holy so that they can spray down vampires to kill them.
Well, that's, dude, that's amazing.
That's the champagne showers video. But all of their videos are connected. They tell a single storyline through all those music videos.
This is one of those.
If you watch them in the right order.
Are they in chronological order, or is there? I'm sure I'll find it on the internet later. So.
I believe if you watch in chronological order, it follows the plot.
I
don't think there's
any
that skip around.
That's incredible, dude.
It's bizarre.
That gives me so much respect for LMAFO then, because yeah, I used to think they were just a one hit wonder.
Don't. They're Nepo babies.
Oh, they are? Oh, okay.
Yes. So I know way too much about LMFO for no reason, but they are the son and grandson of Berry Gordy, founder of Motown.
Oh, wow.
Which is how they got their contract. And yes, one is the other's uncle. They are like 30, one is 30 years older than the other one.
Well, I appreciate continuity, so I can respect them for that much. So
yeah.
The thing
Anyways.
About this scene with them drinking with Frank is I know people like Frank
yes.
where when you hit them in just the right point in their drinking, they are charming. But this guy, like, he is charming for about 45 minutes every day. And the rest of it is completely useless. And I've known people who are this person. I've known people who've dated this person where it's just like, but when he's on, he's so much fun. And it's just like, yeah. And then the other 23 hours of the day, you're taking care of him. He can't work. He's like, he is giving you nothing but 45 minutes of fun a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool the first time you're out with them. Like, I just hate when it's like, oh, hey, we're, you know, the neighbors and coming over and being chummy because, you know we can. But it's just like, this person is the worst.
Mm-hmm. I've known people like this. Mm-hmm.
William H. Macy is doing a fantastic job of acting it, but I hate this guy.
This give you anxiety too, Ben?
Yes. This whole show. There's just kids drinking and smoking everywhere. They can't pay any of their bills. I hate this.
Good baby. I love the baby just wandering around. Oh, we skipped over the part where second to the youngest kid takes the baby for show and tell.
Because they can't find it. Yeah.
I can't find a thing. Yeah.
God, it's so good.
And then we get more of the baby in the morning. Fiona and Steve are cuddling in bed, and the baby's just crawling around in the room with them.
Yep. Baby's got to be somewhere.
I understand. But if the baby's in the room, you should be watching the baby. It shouldn't be, oh, hey, he's in here somewhere.
Yeah, no, I've dated girls like that. Yeah, that's. Yeah. Yeah.
That's you know what? I don't want to know more. Part of me wants to know more, but I think it's better for me if I don't know more.
It's better for me if I didn't know more either.
All right.
Moving on.
This next scene is the one scene along with the taking the clowns away that as much as I was like some of this sibling dialogue clangs a little to me, this felt real in my opinion. Where they get, so Ian and Lip are outside in a old dilapidated van. What? Ian is chain smoking and Lip comes down and Ian's like, hey, you're not going to tell my boss's wife about my boss and I, are you? Cause you know, he's actually a really good guy. And I did appreciate that Lip is very much like, hey man, like I'm surprised you're gay. I'm not mad at you. I don't hate you. I will be giving you shit.
Yeah,
because that is a very brother thing. Where it's just like
very real. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And there was another.
Yeah, I love you, but I'm going to give you shit.
There was a point here that made me realize just how old this show is. Is the fact that Ian is using wired earbuds. You never see these anymore. You got wired earbuds.
I still use
with
wired
an MP3
earbuds.
With an MP3 player.
So do I.
But do you guys have an MP3?
I hate wireless earbuds.
Yeah, same. My AirPods are always falling out. And I'm like, Jesus, dude, these things are expensive as fuck. And so, you know. But no, but he has also got an MP3 player. When's the last time you guys saw an MP3 player? That's all it does is it plays MP3s.
It's been a hot minute.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's been a while. The last time I had an MP3 player, I don't know. Anyways.
We end the show with them having the first real meal of these couple of days. Where Steve's like, it's okay, yes. I do crime. I can afford to pay everybody pancakes. So more of Jafar's love bombing. And like...
One, it is not my love bombing.
No, but it's the thing you've noticed. But he's absolutely doing the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. Continue.
Well, and I'm just like watching this and I'm just like, this is filed under comedy.
Yeah, like, I'm waiting for that too.
Ha, 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 like, poverty. Woohoo. Isn't this quaint? And like, no, I hate this.
Well, it is described as dark comedy, which, I mean, I personally love, but yeah.
Well, we'll find out if it's a dark comedy or not, because we got to skip some episodes.
Is it time to roll the dice?
It is time to roll the dice.
Woo!
I ended up adjusting slightly from our Stargate dice. I dropped one D4 to bring the overall number down just a little bit.
Of course.
So we've got 3D6 and 1D4 that I'll be rolling right now.
What? That's what it was last time, wasn't it?
It was 3D6 and 2D4 for Stargate. This is 3D6 and 1D4. It's not because I dropped the dice somewhere and couldn't find it.
Yeah.
That's for sure not why it changed.
Mm-hmm. That's what happened.
And I rolled a 14.
So, hey, we did it again. We skipped the entire first season.
Skipped that whole first season. We're going to season 2, episode 4.
What?
A Beautiful Mess.
Are you sure? Season 2, episode 4, that's 14?
That's what I wrote down. Did I get it wrong?
I think that's right. It's 11 episode seasons.
It says, I'm on here on Netflix, it's 12 episode seasons.
So
12, it would be season 2, episode 2. I don't know. You call it, Ben. You call it Jafar. You.
Well, it would be season 2, episode 3.
Would it?
Because you don't count the first one.
Which?
You count 14 episodes, and then the next one is the one that you watch. You skip 14.
Yeah, so it's not we watch the 14th, we skip 14.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I see how this works now. Okay, so you're right. I'm sorry I doubted your math.
Okay, that's fine. Hey, you know, you got Ben with those fractions earlier. I'm proud of you.
I'm so embarrassed about that. Like, I feel really dumb.
All right, A Beautiful
Season
Mess.
Season 2, episode 4, A Beautiful Mess. Fiona must deal with the consequences of sleeping with Craig when his wife shows up at her door, while Frank plots to scare Sheila back inside.
I have no idea what that means.
Okay.
Who's Craig?
Yeah.
Who's Sheila?
Is Sheila the ex-wife?
We'll find out next week.
I think they mentioned that Sheila's Frank's ex-wife, or might be current wife, but not linked. They're separated. I don't know. I'm not going to look into it. We're just going to make assumptions, because that's what we do here on Last Time On.
Okay. It's time for predictions.
Lincoln, what are you doing up there?
Guessing? I... guess no one's coming. I have seen into
the future. You ruined the prophecy.
We haven't done predictions in like 2 months. I'm
prediction
excited.
Time. I got mine.
I'm ready to go.
I
got mine. I can start us off. Okay. Daytime. We meet the mom in person at some point.
Good prediction.
Evening. Fiona and Steve break up at least 3 times over the course of the show.
Oh, interesting.
And then my primetime prediction, someone in this episode is going to be killed by a police officer.
Wait, someone in this episode?
Someone in this episode. One of the characters in this episode.
Oh, one of the characters from
is going
episode.
To die via police violence.
Well, that's dark.
Comedy.
It's comedy.
I always make all the dead character predictions. And I feel like I don't know enough to name a dead character, so I wanted to. I wasn't just going to say someone from this episode dies, because that's not enough for a primetime prediction for me. And so I wanted to be specific about a means. And we've got some less than savory interactions with police officers in this episode that lead me to believe that we're going to see some violence from the police. So
okay, that's a solid.
All right,
solid.
I'll go next if that's okay, Vic.
All yours.
My daytime is eventually they get a new dryer.
Again? Oh, because he just replaced the washers.
No, they got a new washing machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, now they eventually get a new dryer. Like, I would laugh.
Steve fucks up and buys them a dryer.
I would absolutely love if that was like the end of the last episode, is they finally replace the dryer. Evening prediction is Frank loses his disability.
Yep.
And my primetime prediction is two of the characters from this episode do not make it to the finale.
Ah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Well, for my predictions, I'm going to try to do something this season to make things a little easier. All of my predictions for the season of Shameless are going to be stuff that happens on screen while we are watching our random episodes.
Okay.
Yeah. So my morning daytime prediction is going to be every episode that the three of us watch, we are going to see physical violence, a punch, a kick, a slap. It's going to happen every single episode. My evening prediction is every single episode we watch, there's going to be nudity. Yeah,
there's a bit of that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We glossed over the fact that we got everything.
Oh
right?
Yeah.
We got some full on hanging dong.
We got Wang.
Yeah. So at the very least, we're going to get partial nudity every episode. So I'm going to say very least we get a nipple. If there will be at least one nipple every single episode we watch. And for my evening prediction, there will be, I'll just say criminal activity. We will see at least one crime that's at the very least a misdemeanor on every episode. So yeah. So mine will be easy to keep track of. So I was going to suggest that Laura be our gatekeeper at the end of this, since she seems to be, I think Laura mentioned that she's binging the show. So we could maybe bring her in at the end to be like the referee at the end.
At the very least, she can help us clarify some predictions, yeah, do some research. Yeah. Okay.
Well, that'd be fun.
Yeah. No, we should totally not tell her and just let her listen to this episode so she finds out that way.
That's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Our fate is in your hands, Laura.
I'm sure I won't hear about that at all. I'm sure she'd be happy to do it. Anyways, with all of that said, on to some thank yous, right? We're not missing anything.
Nope,
we haven't done
it.
This in a minute.
Yeah,
so
thank yous.
Cool.
Thank
it's
you.
It's been recap episodes for forever. So,
yep.
All right. Well, we'd like to say thank you to Ripe for letting us use the theme Goon Squad as our theme music. We appreciate the hell out of it. We love the song. Thank you so much.
And I'd like to give one last thank you to the Lab Rats and the Dominion Media Research Lab for nothing, since you guys lied to us the entire season last season. But we will be starting up a new Facebook group called the Last Time On Listeners Lounge. And this will be specifically for listeners of this podcast, so we can get maybe a little more accurate feedback. And if you'd like to join, just search for Last Time On Listeners Lounge on Facebook and submit an application. And remember that the password to get in, see, this is how I'm going to keep the randos out of here and hopefully keep it a little bit more accurate. The password to enter is Wahapahur. And the more you misspell it, the more correct you are. Just in the best way you can possibly misspell Wahapahur.
I like that. Yeah. That's got big nuclear jaguar vibes.
And if you like our podcast, please leave us a review on Facebook or iTunes, and we'll give you a shout out here on the show. And if you didn't like our podcast, you just keep that shit to yourself. No need to go around spreading negativity out into the universe.
And one last thank you to Annette Lucina for your photograph of a TV that we had used as our podcast artwork. But now we are going to thank Vic for making our new podcast artwork.
What? I have to make new artwork? What? Shit!
You already did it.
You're making me do stuff.
Yeah, where's our podcast network logo?
Fuck.
There we go.
Oh, God, let me get on that. Okay. Put that on my to-do list, right under the electric bill.
And please join us on our Discord, the link for which will be in the Last Time On Listener Lounge. Come chat with us. We will be able to talk there, share memes. It's a very good time.
I do like the Discord.
And we will see you next time on Last Time On.
No, in my defense, I didn't know the baby was there until I got up and left and to go home. I was like, holy shit, there's been a baby in this room this whole fucking time. So, okay. So, yeah, I might just edit that.
Anyways. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. You don't have to share more than you want to.
I just wanted to make that clear.
That's the magic of editing.
Yeah. Okay, magic of editing. Yeah.
Yeah.